Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is already, you guys, we're just rolling along. It's like the end of March. Tomorrow's the last day. It's the 30th of March. It's on a Thursday, so tomorrow's the last day of the month, and it's a Friday. So I guess we always find a reason to celebrate and have a good time. Good morning for the Dream Theme Thursday show. And boy, I have like three big dreams today. So I have to say we've got one. Let me see. The last one is pretty long. So let's start quickly so I make sure I get everybody in, because you know me, once I start going, these dreams start like popping up all these other things in my head, and I'm like, oh, and wait a minute, and then there's this, and then there's that, and before you know it, we're, you know, going on one dream. So let me start with the first one. It's from Maria from Mariachi, also known as, and here's her dream. Dear Nadia, here's my new dream. I was in one famous Croatian town. The town was full of celebrity people. I was curious and wanted to see them up close, but somehow, although I was close to them, I couldn't see them properly, and they kept passing by. Then in the dream, I was on your show telling you about my dream. In that dream, I saw a line of coffins. Oh, wow, that's okay. A line of coffins. In the coffins were all famous people. The last coffin was mine, but it was open and empty as I stood before it. And somehow I knew that the main difference between me and the dead people was the fact that they all had plastic surgery and I didn't. Thank you. Love to all. Maria. Well, that's actually, you know, when you said the coffins, I'm like, oh no, what just happened? But I get what happened. And this is really an interesting one, because when you see a lot of plastic surgery, when you see that, you get this weird feeling that nothing is real and that people aren't real. It's like you're looking at people, but you're looking at people who are in bodies. The bodies are walking around, but you don't know who they really are. And what you figured out in your dream was that, you know, celebrity people, all a celebrity is somebody that a lot of people know. You become familiar with them because you see so many pictures of them. You see them in movies. You think you know them. You feel like you're connected to them, even though they don't know you. So they meet you, and there's no recognition on their part, but there's a ton of recognition on your part. So the energy exchange is completely lopsided, which is why people go crazy sometimes when they see celebrities, because it's so lopsided that the person who feels like they know them feels like somehow they could be their best friend. And then they realize that this person doesn't even know who I am. So when you want to see celebrities and you get up close, a lot of times you realize, oh, my God, they're just people. Oh, look, they walk and they talk and they eat and they sleep and they get upset, and they're people. But because of that lopsided energy of exchange, we don't see them that way. So what happens is, when you meet them and they're all, you know, you realize, not all of them, but this did happen to me before with my kids. And my kids who went to see, it was my daughter and her friend. And when they went to go see actual celebrities, the venue that we went to see them in was also a plastic surgeon's office. And it was an empowering women type of event. And yet it was in a plastic surgeon's office. And the whole time we were there, they were playing tapes of how they could do plastic surgery. And in Origins of Truth, Christ wrote about plastic surgery and said, you know, you could basically, you're covering up what you get. You can change anything you want to change, but you can never change the eyes. You can't make the eyes different. Maybe you could fix around them, but the actual eyeball you cannot touch. Because that's the only truth-telling thing we have in our bodies. And you can't change that. But you can do whatever you want with the rest of it. But when you seen the line of coffins, you saw that it meant nothing. that what you thought was huge and the people you thought you wanted to see up close, and you kept passing them by, but no one really noticed you were there. It's because in truth, you did not understand what you were seeing. You didn't really care once you've seen it. You couldn't relate to them as people. And so to you, all of that curiosity, all of that wishing, all of that wondering that these people were famous and they have great lives and a lot of money and whatever it is that comes with that, that you felt you'd rather be you than anybody else. And that's a great dream. And that's a great dream. The fact that you wanted you. You wanted to be you over being anybody else. And that world, its meaning found its place with you. Your energy exchange with it is normal now. You're just, hey, that's cool, but okay. And that actually happened to us in real life, that dream, only we didn't see the line of coffins. But we went to this event. I brought my daughter and her friend, and we were there, and we hadn't eaten dinner yet, and we thought, oh, we'll go, and, you know, I thought they would love it. It was one of the first red carpets I've ever gone to, and now I'm kind of more picky about which ones I go to. But everybody there, there was lips and boobs and this and that, and, you know, my daughter and I and her friend all looked at each other. We were not even there an entire half hour. And we couldn't wait to leave. And when we left, all we wanted to do is drive back to our town. Not even stay in the area we were in, just drive back to our town and eat dinner. And talk about everything we saw in that jam-packed half hour. Because there was no feeling, no relation that you could feel to anybody there. And that's the disconnect. And we were never so happy to be who we were as we were that night. It's almost a direct reflection of your dream, except you saw it in coffins and you realized that you'd rather be you than anybody else. So that's an interesting, very kind of cool dream. So thank you for that, Maria. So now I have another dream. And this one was in the midst of some inboxes, and in the middle of the inboxes, which were very cool about, you know, meeting someone new and hoping to see that person again and not running into that person again and going through all these things that were wrapped around this whole event. And this dream came up in it, and it said, I had a small plant. This one is anonymous because I know they gave me the dream, but I don't remember it being someone's name I could say, so it's anonymous. I had a small plant in a flower pot, and I saw in the ground dirty animals, worms, also three different kinds, a thick green and black one, more small black ones, and transparent small ones. Then ugly green ones, I could only see one between the plant, but then I realized that it could be on my clothes, and suddenly I felt them in my mouth. I walked to a water tap to clean my mouth, but there came no water out of it. So I walked to a small water tap and just a little water, and I cleaned my mouth. Everything came out of my mouth in my dream. It was a real dirty feeling. When you dream about bugs, and I know the dreams are gross, but you're taking stuff out of you that you no longer needed. It's like it's coming out. And in the form, you think the bugs are from the outside coming in, but actually they're from the inside coming out. And you're actually releasing something that's been there for a while. And from the other emails that I got on this one, the other inboxes I got on it, it makes a lot of sense that you would have this dream. Because when you're in a situation that's unknown to you and it's kind of a new situation and you're kind of excited about it, but you're not really sure what's happening yet. But you're feeling feelings that you haven't felt for a long time or that you even maybe not have felt yet in your life. And it starts to bring other things out in you, like you get nervous, you get excited, you want to see them, you want to meet them, you want to talk to them, you don't know what to wear, you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do once you do see them, and your whole mind gets worked up about meeting these people or this person. And it starts to bring other things out in you. It starts to bring, like, oh, wait a minute, do I like this kind of person? Does this work for me or not? How do I feel about being with a person? How do I feel? And so all these things that have just been sitting there for a long time, you start realizing, oh, I didn't need that feeling anymore. Now I know why I stayed away. Now I know why I didn't pursue. Now I know why I didn't care. When all that stuff starts coming out, the way it looked was in the form of bugs, and they were all different kinds, because our feelings are like all over the place. We don't even know where to capture one from the other. And so that's the loss of control and all the bugs and coming out of different places, and you just can't get them. But look what it took to get them out. When you couldn't find the water, but you knew somewhere in there water, that you knew you had an antidote. And then you just found a little bit, but it made them all disappear. But the real dirty feeling that you felt wasn't like a dirty feeling like you weren't good. It was a dirty feeling from the bugs, because that's the energy that sometimes we hold on to, and then it just releases itself. It just releases itself. A lot of times when we have dreams of birds as well, we are releasing. We're taking that part of us out that we no longer need. It flies away from us. These were crawling out of us. They were just in there for a long time, just like if you left food on the table for too long and all of a sudden, you know, you find there's ants on it or bugs on it or something like that. And that's exactly that feeling. It's amazing that, you know, these bugs can mean a release of some kind, but that's exactly what happened there. So that was a good dream to have, because now you are probably a few pounds lighter than you were before this in terms of energy. I always say, like, I've never felt so weightless in my life as I did when I cleaned up my insides, and that's a great one. And I see Marco in the chat. He said, I recognize it completely. That was Marco, and he said, thank you, Nadia, for the explanation. I was going to answer you in the inbox, but once I saw the dream in it, I thought, let me wait until Dream Theme Thursday, because it's so cool to be able to talk instead of write, which is why I love the show. So now I have another one. This one is anonymous, and I won't reveal this person at all, because they actually asked me to keep it anonymous. So let me start on this one. It's a longer one. So I said, I've had a version of this type of dream a few times before, so I thought I would see if it means something I should be aware of. In previous versions, I am with an unknown woman who I am attracted to and enjoying being with that person, but having this thought in the dream that maybe I shouldn't be enjoying this because my wife wouldn't be happy about it. Last night's version was the first time I was with a woman that I know in real life who I also happen to be attracted to, who in real life, not the dream, just happened to send an invitation to her wedding last night. Other information about this particular person, which may or may not be relevant, is that she is the only person that my wife knows I am attracted to. Since my wife had asked me a while ago if there was anyone I was attracted to as an example for her, since she always would point to women that she thought I was attracted to based on their behavior towards me, and I would tell her that they were not anyone I'd be interested in, so she should not be concerned. So she'd say, okay, give me an example of someone you are attracted to. So I mentioned back then this person that I now dreamed about, since she lives out of town and it wouldn't be anyone I would see regularly and have to deal with the discomfort of that knowledge. Now, on to some detail about the dream. In a first part of the dream, my wife is nearby and somehow I lay down on a couch and this other woman lays down next to me, and that's That is all. And it came across as something that just happened by chance in the dream, but I was happy about it, I guess. Whereas a little later in the dream, I am with my wife and she tells me to go to say something to this woman who has left the scene. So I go to do that, can't remember what I was supposed to tell her, but anyway, as I was about to return to my wife, she asks me not to leave yet, but to stay there and cuddle with her in the car. I thought it was. So I was thinking now it's not by chance as in the first case, now she actually wants me to be next to her, but was torn between my wife either finding out about it or else wondering what takes me so long to come back. Some other people walk up just after this, and I'm looking to see if my wife is there, but she isn't, and the dream ends shortly after that. Sorry for the long description. I just wanted to mention that I could remember in case any of it made a difference in the interpretation. I always enjoy listening to your interpretation of other people's dreams, and I feel like I'm even starting to see how you interpret things in some cases. Oh, that's cool. Thanks in advance for considering this. Okay, so this is a two-parter. It's real life, and it fell into dreams. And what is going on here is that you are playing a game of cat and mouse in your own mind. It's like you are testing limits. It actually has nothing to do with the women or your wife and the fact that she's even asking you who you are attracted to. It's like you're in a trap. Somebody's going to ask you, well, who are you attracted to? Just tell me. And they're your partner. What's missing between the two of you that's even a question to be asked between you? Because that is like asking for trouble. If somebody asks you, hey, you know, there's nothing wrong in our marriage right now, but you know what? Is there anyone you're attracted to so that I can obsess over it and get upset about it and pick on you for it? That's one of those questions you never answer as long as you live. Not because you're not being honest or you're being honest, but because in life it's natural to have these natural attractions to people because we're people, and we may meet people. It doesn't mean we want to be with them. It doesn't mean we want to see them. It doesn't mean we want to do anything with them. It just means that, you know what, these are people that I enjoy. I would like to get to know. We get to know their families. We get to know everyone. Nothing ever happens, but it keeps us thriving, trying in our own life. But when a marriage is focusing on that, it's almost like the marriage itself is looking for trouble. Oh, well, I'm doing this, and let me see if my spouse gets mad. Oh, wait, I'm doing that, and my spouse doesn't agree with me. Let me see if now she gets mad, or he gets mad, because I've seen it happen on both sides. It's like playing a game in a weird way of chess. You're just playing chess, and, you know, it's a strategic game, and it's an excellent intellectual game, and you really have to strategize and you really have to play. But then, you know, you just keep winning. And so the other person says, well, you know, I'm not going to play you anymore. You keep winning. And you say, but why? You're a great strategist. Keep playing me. You'll get better. And this marriage wants to be better. This marriage wants to say, wow, I can know the hardest thing about my wife or husband, and we're still okay. It's like a test. So then in the dream, you took the test a step further. Oh, well, what if I did this now, and what if I did that? Will she still care? Will she still be there? It's almost like a child whose parents say, you can do everything but that. And now that becomes the thing you both are focusing on because that's the one thing you can't do. And now you're trying to figure out why can't you do that. So you're really, it's not about the woman. It's not about cuddling. It's not about liking her. She's just the example. It has nothing to do with that woman. What it has to do with you feeling like you need to push your boundaries a little bit. Stretch out a little bit. Let your fingers cross over the box that you're in. Let them come out of it a little bit just to stretch. There's two things going on in this dream. One, it's a testament to how close you and your wife are and the kinds of conversations you're willing to have. And the other part of it is that the kind of conversations you're willing to have are now focused on, hyper-focused on things that aren't good for either of you. Because it's natural to feel those things on her part, on your part. Life goes like that. Does it mean you're not going to be with your partner? Does it mean that you're not going to love your wife? No, it means nothing like that. You and your wife have a full life together that entails more than just this conversation. There's a lot more going on. There's built-in, you know, I want to say attachments and routines and traveling and history and all of that that nobody can compete with. But for some reason, you know, trying to find, you know, well, are you attracted to this person? Well, do you want to do that without me? Well, do you want, okay, that means that you're not really in love with me. And then what do? What do you say? Of course you will always love your wife. Of course she will always love you. Pick and choose what you decide to have conversations about. Don't have to feel like you're hiding anything. Life is just what it is. We're just human beings. We're not trying to be anything else. Pay attention, close attention to the feelings that maybe you guys might be boxing yourselves in too much. And maybe you might want to feel like you have a sense of anonymity between you guys. That you can feel something and you don't have to digest and put on the table every single thing you're feeling, or you're hiding something and you're not being honest. Sometimes we might have a fleeting feeling that comes and goes, and if we talk about it, we've given it life. Give yourselves the space to be human beings where there isn't a hawk in each of you watching the other. And one of you feeling like, wow, you know, this really powerful feeling like, well, whatever I do, it's really going to bother my wife. And then you almost start looking for stuff to bother her like you did in the dream, even though she didn't know you would end up telling her. But you don't need to play cat and mouse. I think, you know, take a look at your relationship and realize that you can both have a more mature relationship. You don't own each other. You love each other. So love each other. Don't own each other. I hope that makes sense, because I have to tell you, having a dream that pushes limits and boundaries like that, it comes out once you feel like, you know what, I almost want to test the waters. Not with another person or anything, but maybe there's something you want to do in life that you feel you haven't done yet. That's what you should be talking about, is the boundaries and the limits that the two of you put on each other, as opposed to who you like. I mean, come on, we're not in seventh grade anymore. And then you really have to think about who you're attracted to, and then you feel so powerful. Well, wow, now I told her that, and now she's going to, you know, always notice that, and now that's going to be a point of contention, so I'll tell her someone who doesn't matter and just shut it up. But your dream is telling you that, you know what? You don't want her to find out what you're doing because you're afraid you're going to get in trouble because you're in a box. So pay attention to paying attention to the two of you, giving each other leeway to be regular human beings. Regular human beings. I see in the chat, I see Avril is in the chat, and she's, you know, across the pond. She's all the way over in England somewhere, and here she's like, hi, everyone, I have a day off, and I'm listening live. Wow, that's so cool. And we got Marco listening live today, also middle of afternoon. And then we got Nancy, who comes in at 5:30 in the morning because she lives here in California. So you can imagine what that feels like. And Frances is on the other side in the morning still. Her and Paul and Wilma are all in the East Coast. So it's amazing the different time levels and time zones, but it's so good to see you guys. The whole chat's nice. But back to this dream, I have one more thing to say about it. In this dream, look at where he says, but to stay there and cuddle with her, because first it was by chance and then it was by choice. And what you're saying in that part of the dream is that at first I would just stumble onto things I like in life, but I may have decided not to do them because they may have maybe upset my wife or ruffled the feathers or done something like that. But you know what? Now I'm choosing. I'm specifically choosing to do things that maybe we can't both do together. So ask yourself what in life you are wanting to do that maybe you're not doing. The conversation, instead of who you are attracted to in life, should be more just like, are we smothering each other? Are we worried about losing each other? Are we trying to test that? Because marriages, we don't realize how they are a little civilization in themselves, and they're not easy to dismantle. But they're really easy to have tit-for-tat kinds of arguments or little things like that. And sometimes when something doesn't feel that exciting, we try to ask each other these things to maybe heighten that excitement between us. But pay attention to your boundaries and your limits that the two of you put on each other. Pay attention to that. Because that's really what this is about. The real life really helped the dream. The dream itself would just say, I'm pushing limits. But when you talk about, you know, your wife constantly asking you, you know, who are you attracted to? Just give me someone you're attracted to. And then you say that, short of a celebrity, I mean, I know there's a lot of couples who make me laugh because they go, well, who's your celebrity crush? Because that's safe. That's easy. That gives you a chance. Oh, that type of person would be someone. But don't forget that I married you because you are my crush. You are the person I love. You are the person that took my heart and took me to this level. Cute, we can find cute every day. A good conversation, we can find that every day. But you, I took to this level. I married you. Everybody knows about us. We are a couple. We have a home. We wake up together. We sleep together. We eat together. Focus on the things that are working and don't look for that needle in a haystack where you're creating an issue by asking these questions. So the fact that you've been having these dreams over and over again with the conversations that you have, but it also has to do with maybe feeling too tightly woven into a box. And just to loosen that up a little bit and give yourselves some space to breathe. I really hope that answered your question. That was a very good one. That one, believe it or not, between married couples, we see these things a lot. Because sometimes there's just too much intrusion on your mind. We are free will. Doesn't mean you go and run around. It just means that you have a mind, and your mind can think whatever it needs to think as long as you know what to do with what you think. It's a lot of self-respect, not just trying to get respect from the outside in. So you guys, I'm telling you, I will see you tomorrow for Questions Friday. Give me your questions in inbox. I love you guys so very much. Have a great Thursday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.